This is the NBC War Telescope, and it is focused again today on London, where one of NBC's staff men, W.W. Chatlin, is ready to bring you another interesting story of sidelights on the war. So, we take you now to Bill Chatlin in London.
This is W.W. Chatlin in London.
Very often on this program, we bring you some man who's done a fine and unusual job of some sort on the war front. Today, I'm going to double up and bring you two such men. You just about have to do these men together, if you do them at all, or you'd be apt to hear from their mother in Texas about it. You see, they're twins, and their mother likes to have them with each other. Not even the greatest war in history has been able to separate them for long. It did for a little while, but Mrs. Sam Zimmerman of Corpus Christi, Texas, fixed that. These men who are going to talk to you today, boys still really in age, but men in experience and responsibility, they're the Zimmerman twins of Corpus Christi, members of the same 9th Air Force Medium Bomber Squadron. But first, let me give you a little background on these boys. They finished high school when they were 16, and both became surveyors, both Emmanuel and Harold Zimmerman. When we got into the war, well, the boys decided that they had to get in, too. They enlisted together. Both asked for service with the Air Forces, and both applied for training as aerial gunners. That was in November of 1942, when they were 19. From that point on, I'd like to have you hear the story from them. Manny, you got to be a gunner, all right, didn't you?
Yes, I made it all right, but Hal didn't pass the eye test.
And what was wrong with your eyes, Hal? Why should one twin have good eyes and the other not so good?
Well, I used to do some amateur boxing, and I guess I'd taken some punches that didn't do my eyes any good, so they threw me out.
And because of that, the twins were separated. Manny went one way to gunnery and radio school, Hal to engineering and operations school somewhere else. Manny, how long did that separation last?
Just about 9 months. All that time, my mother had been working to get us together. Finally, her request reached General H.H. Arnold, Chief of the Air Forces. And when we graduated from different schools just over a year ago, he ordered us to be put in the same squadron.
And where was that, Hal?
That was at Lakeland, Florida. We sure were glad to get together again. We've been together ever since. Although, of course, I stay on the ground and Manny does the flying.
I see. And so, you came over here together and, in a way, went into business together over here, did you?
Well, we didn't come together. I flew over in a B-26 because I was part of a flying crew. Hal came along in a ship, but we were still in the same squadron, and we were together again before we began operational flying with the 9th Bomber Command.
And do you remember that first operational flight? I know there have been a lot of them since, but is that one clear in your mind still, boys?
I'll say it is.
Oh, boy.
All right, Manny. You went on that flight. You tell us how it was from your viewpoint.
Well, they waked us up about 6 in the morning, and we were taking in for briefing. When I saw the map with our course charted on it, I knew I was going on. That line on the map ran across the channel. The target was some railroad yards in France. I can't describe exactly how I felt, but I guess it was just tense. I was tense all the way across and right through the operation.
Mm-hmm. And have lots of trouble over there, Manny?
No trouble, no flak, and no fighter opposition. So I relaxed on the way back, and I've never felt quite so tense again.
And how about you, Hal? Tell us your story of that same operation. What was your job to do?
Well, my job is to check personnel for the crew of this B-26 that Manny flies in. I put out their flak suits and everything they're supposed to have with them. So I did that and then saw them off.
And then I suppose you went along to breakfast.
Well, no. I gave breakfast the go-by. I just didn't feel like eating. I never do when Manny's out.
And what did you do then? They talk about the ground crews sweating it out while the planes they service are out on a mission. Just exactly how did you sweat it out for Manny that first time that he went?
To tell the truth, I just went off in a corner and waited. I waited about 3 hours. They don't tell us when the planes are coming back. So the first I knew was when I saw them over the field. I knew the normal position of Manny's plane in the squadron, and I knew the number on it. So I knew his plane was all right even before they landed and he climbed out.
Good. And what did you do then? You tell us what he did, Manny.
Well, we were both pretty glad to get together again with the first mission over. Hal ran up to me and I guess we just sort of threw arms around each other. The way I remember it, we didn't say anything at all.
That's right. There just wasn't anything to say.
And since then, Manny, how many missions have you gone along on?
23 more after the first one. We've gone into all over the countries along the coast, and once we were just about up to the German border.
And how many German planes have you shot at, Manny?
I haven't shot at a single one. In 24 missions, not one German plane has come near enough for me to get shot at.
Not one. And how do you explain that? I've heard the Germans do have fighter planes.
Yes, but we have better ones, and that's why I haven't had any gunnery to do. Our fighter escort just doesn't let them in.
That certainly is a well-deserved tribute to our fighter pilots. I suppose you have had experience with flak.
Yes, we've been through a lot of that. On a third mission, I was in my plane that was hit by flak. One piece struck right under me, and it just seemed to boost me up in the air. But we've got back all right, and that's luckier than some of our pals have been.
I suppose so. And how do you fellows get along with your officers now? Pretty good fellows, are they, Hal?
They're tops. Major Delwyn Bentley, our commanding officer, has been with us ever since we left the States. He comes from Wyoming. He's a good Joe.
And I guess that's something every officer would like to have his men say of him. It's not fancy, but it comes from the heart. He's a good Joe. Now, fellows, 24 missions is a lot of missions. And I suppose one of these days you'll run the number up so high that you'll get a furlough home. Anybody special you're interested in to get back to sea? Is either of you engaged?
No, not engaged, but I've been going with a Miss Peggy Eisen of Kansas City for about 3 years. It will certainly be wonderful to see her again if that furlough does come around.
All right, Manny, and how about you, Hal? Who's your girl back home?
Well, I guess you can just say that my girl is my mom.
Fair enough. And I'm sure that will be good news to Mrs. Zimmerman in Corpus Christi. You know, we notified her that you boys were to be on the air today. Now, one of you mentioned a few minutes ago something about your pals. Have you got pals in the squadron who have been with you right through? You tell us, Hal.
Yes, we have. I guess our best friend in the squadron is Staff Sergeant Nathan Wilson of Charlotte, North Carolina. We trained together in the States, and we've been together ever since. When he heard we were going on the air to talk to the folks at home, he said he hoped his father and mother would be listening, so we could let them know he's okay.
Well, I hope they're listening, too, just as your mother is. But if not, they'll hear about it all right. And I guess that concludes the story of the Zimmerman twins from Texas. One who flies against the enemy, and the other who stays back at base and sweats it out. I wouldn't dare guess myself which is the harder job. But they are working together, and that's what their mother wanted. Incidentally, this Zimmerman family is represented over here by even more than the twins. Their sister, Mrs. Irving Kahn, is married to a Navy flyer, and he's in this theater, too. Thank you very much, boys. I'm sure each one of you will look after his twin just the way that Mrs. Zimmerman wanted it, and that not too far in the future you'll be back home again. You've heard how these boys, flying and servicing the bigger planes, give full credit to the fighter pilots who go along to protect the bombers. That's generous of the bomber boys, but the fighter men have earned that generosity. I asked Manny Zimmerman today, when I was talking to him just before the broadcast, exactly what he thought of our fighter men. And he put it good and strong, though in a very few words. He just said, they're tops. He was right, and his praise goes for both pilots and planes that we've got over here. I'd like to tell you a little story about one of those fighters and the plane that he flies. He's Lieutenant Colonel David Schilling of Traverse City, Michigan. He's only 24 years old. Not much older than the Zimmerman twins, for that matter. But when he shot down his 16th German plane, he became the high-scoring Thunderbolt pilot in this theater. Here's a story about him that shows what sort of fighter pilots we have and what sort of fighter planes. While off on one mission, he somehow lost everybody in his group except his wingman, Lieutenant Wendell McClure of Sweetwater, Texas. Just those two to get. And then, bang, they rang smack into what our flyers call a gaggle, a string formation of between 35 and 50 Fokker Wolf 190s. Now, what do you suppose they did? Hightailed it for home? Not much. They sneaked around behind that formation and opened up from the rear. A German plane blew up, and the pieces of it came back and damaged Schilling's plane, damaged it badly. But he and his wingman kept on firing, and another German plane went down. But then the Germans split into two formations and really went for those two Americans. And Schilling's engine chose that particular moment to blow a cylinder head. He started home then, but he managed to detour a little to shoot down another German plane in the air and set still another that was anchored on a lake. He set that on fire. Then a Fokker Wolf really got on his tail, just as his ammunition gave out. He dived, with smoke pouring from that crippled engine. And there he got a break. The German thought that Schilling was out of control and on fire and would certainly crash. So he went away. But actually, there was lots of stuff in that engine yet. And it brought Schilling all the way home. So you can see that when the Zimmermann twins say that our fighter pilots and planes are tops, they know what they're talking about. And now we have just a minute for spot news. The spot news of the air war is that the heavy bombers were out in force last night, and smaller planes today. French coast apparently received the bulk of the Allied attention. The Germans failed to retaliate in the air, though they did open up their coast artillery guns, firing across the Straits of Dover from the region of Calais. Less than a dozen shells were fired, and British guns did not reply. The alert in the Dover area lasted about an hour, but the actual shelling was maintained for less than 10 minutes. London papers, having little home news today beyond the bombing story, just about split their front pages between the fighting against the Germans in Italy and the Japs in the Pacific and in Burma. Everyone I've talked to here seems confident that at last real developments are to be expected in Italy. I think it will cause little surprise here if the Hitler line in Italy should collapse far more speedily than the Gustav line did. There's a noticeable new spirit of optimism. The interest in the fighting against the Japs is equally keen here, though I find no tendency to think that that part of the war can be anything but hard and long. That's a general feeling. Also, I have found absolutely no indication here that the British, the ordinary Britisher, doesn't consider that the war against the Japs, the war of the United Nations against the Japs, is just as much Britain's war as America's war. That's a very general feeling. A great deal is made in the press of the part the British are playing already in Burma, and the part that the British are playing also in the new Allied Navy Air Force bombing of Surabaya in the Dutch East Indies, which was the principal Dutch East Indies naval base. And that's the main spot news today. And now, back to the newsroom in New York.
So ends the NBC War Telescope for this week, a program offering you interesting sidelights on the war by members of the NBC London staff. Today's program, a feature of the NBC News and Special Events Department, presented W.W. Chaplin. This is the National Broadcasting Company.